In news from the Big Island, officials report a large volcanic explosion at the Kilauea summit early this morning. They're also preparing for the lava flow to consume Pohoiki Boat Ramp and the Isaac Hale Park in the days to come, such as the activity as Madame Pele continues to affect air quality for our state. This week, we checked in with an organic farm about the impact to its crops and farm workers. Tane Dotta has been farming for 30 years. His family farm, Adaptations, is located in Kona. He tells us with the Vog, it's all about patience.
I think when the eruption moved over to Lani and went away from the summit, then our air became more variable because sometimes the smoke would blow on the other side of the mountains and sometimes it would blow past us. So that's how the Vog has been going. How it affects us is two ways. I think the most important way is the people. So the people, I work my farm and I have people who help me. And if our air gets to be up in the unhealthy range, it starts getting above 120, at some points it got above 150, then you're low on energy, your decision-making is kind of poor, and what we were doing was doing the minimum. We decided for ourselves that we'd do what needed to be done, but not push new projects, not try and get extra done. And then we have good days, we kind of jump ahead and do a little bit more. Everyone's excited, everyone's kind of like, oh, good, we can see the sky again. And there's just be... You know, you'd be clearer thinking and have more energy.
Of the crops that you grow, what seems to be more susceptible?
The fastest things we grow and we pay a lot of attention to is the micro-mix, which is basically between a one-week to a three-week crop. And what we're seeing in there is basically pulses. When we have really heavy fog, then everything's really slow. And then we have a good day, it almost doubles up and jumps really quickly. So we have kind of an uneven growth pattern in there.
So when you're talking micro mix, you're talking a mix of greens?
Yeah, a mix of greens, basically seedlings. So we're able to see what it seems to happen is when the fog's heavy, we're not getting the right type of light that we're supposed to have. And so the plants kind of stagnate. And kind of almost no matter where they are, they stop in the middle and kind of just flounder for a while. For microgreens, it's not that big a deal. For avocados and the fruit trees, we have avocados that are going off, and the tree would start to be ripe and start harvesting it, and all of a sudden it would stop. And when it stops in the middle of its ripening process, then what we were harvesting would start to go downhill, like it would be kind of, I don't know, get brown on one end or start getting stringier. And I think it was because it didn't quite get to the full ripening stage it was supposed to on the tree. It just kind of stalled.
We were hearing some stories about how, yeah, the avocados would get, you know, they'd be very small and they wouldn't really ripen.
Right. They kind of get stuck. And then when we have a good day, I think they kind of jump ahead. So with a fruit, it's only got a short time period to be in that cycle on the tree. And we're growing greens like choy. We're growing a micro mix. We do edible flowers, too. All those can kind of stall and come back again. It's not going to affect it as much as a fruit is because there's a set of ripening processes that would have to happen on an avocado.
And we were talking with some of the researchers up at the University of Hawaii, and they were saying that coffee seemed to be fairly resilient. I know down like in the Kau area, they seem to be maintaining okay.
I also have a one-acre coffee farm, which is also about 1,500 feet, and it's over in Captain Cook area. And I'm watching that, too, and I think because it's got a long season before it has to turn red, it varies every year anyhow, depending on how much rainfall we have. So sometimes, the rains will come early in the year and flush out a whole lot of flowers, and then you have some coffee, and then you have another rainstorm, like maybe 2 weeks later, and you have your next flush. So the coffee tree, I think, is used to having several flushes on it and several cycles at one time. And it seems like they're doing okay. Kind of won't know to the end of the year if there's diseases or misshapen beans or not. But as a whole, they seem to be doing okay.
So the other crops that you grow then a bit more fragile, and it's your expectation that the yields are going to be a lot smaller this time around?
Not necessarily, because what we're doing in the meantime is we're taking really good care of the plants. So they're well set up. We've kept pests off of them. And they have the fertilizer we're supposed to have on them. And so when we do have the little burst of the air gets good again, the air quality drops down all the way down the particle matter drops down to, you know, zero or down to 50, basically in the green, then we see them growing really fast. They're almost like making up for lost time. They grow faster than I would expect them to grow. So with those type of crops, that would be kales and choice, they seem to be more or less, they're okay stalling. They still taste good. It's mostly that pulsing. And then again, as I said, the second thing that's actually equally important is the ability to work on the land is lower. Like when it's bad air, it's somewhat dangerous to work. You know, it says unhealthy, and you don't want to get all those particles like really deep into your lungs. And I have to recognize that for myself and for the other people working with me. So I think that means that we lower the amount of labor on the farm. And I guess that's one thing. And the other thing is the avocados are the ones I have the most, you know, I'm kind of watching the most. And I'm probably getting reasonable yields off of the greens.
And how would you compare this challenge with the VOG with, you know, some of the other pests and the issues that you have to deal with?
As a whole, we don't have a lot of pests. And we've been organic for a while, so we've kind of gotten ourselves into balance. And I think when we haven't had the VOG this heavy before, but now it's kind of tapering off. So I guess, you know, we were more concerned earlier about a drought. There's supposed to be some correlation that if we have a lot of particles in the air, then we're not getting the rains that we're used to. And that could be true this year. It's a little hard to say because there's so many other things affecting the climate at the moment. I'd say as a whole, droughts or winds would probably cause more damage than the VOG is right now. The VOG is kind of a waiting game.
You also grow medicinal plants.
In some ways, you know, a lot of the reason the plants are medicinal is they are a little bit longer term, and they're able to deal with stress. So if they're getting stressed by some of this, for all I know, they might actually come out stronger because they're going to put up their defense systems too. So with Boticole and Passion Vine seem to be doing okay. We're watching nice flowering. Kava is a multi-year plant. I think it's going to do okay. It's important that we are getting at least some pulses of clean air. And I do think it's important that it's trending down. So it's kind of something you have to kind of hunker down and just, you know, kind of hopefully wait till it passes.
Okay.
So I guess it's patience.
Okay.
You know, you have to have patience with it. And he really isn't, besides making sure the plant has what it needs, there's not anything else you can really do about it.
That was Tane Datta, a Big Island organic farmer, sharing his story about coping with the effects of VOG on his crops. It's all about staying hydrated, good advice for both people and plants. I'm Catherine Cruz, and this is The Conversation on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio.